must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss.
Josh Groban is coming to Norfolk for his stage, screen, and symphony tour, part of the Virginia Arts Festival. He'll be singing with the Virginia Symphony Orchestra. It's coming up Sunday, August 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Chartway Arena, 4320 Hampton Boulevard in Norfolk. All the information is online at vafest.org. And I am so excited to have Josh Groban on the line with me. Josh, it's so great to catch up with you.
It's great to catch up with you, too. Thank you so much for having me. And now I know the address of the venue, so I will definitely be there on time and can't wait.
This is why we give the address, to make sure everybody can get there.
That's right.
Well, let's jump in and tell us about the program and this tour, this stage, screen, and symphony tour.
This is, I think, going to be the most fun I have all year. Having the opportunity to perform with the Virginia Symphony Orchestra is like riding a wave. I mean, there is no greater feeling as a singer than to be able to have that, you know, to support you and to be able to let these songs live and breathe in the world that they were intended with these amazing musicians. And these are songs that I love very much. I've been doing a lot of touring this year and, you know, singing songs past, present, and future. And, you know, to just be able to dive into the songs that helped craft me as a singer, as a vocalist, songs from film and from musical theater, and to be able to do it with the environment that we have out there, it's going to be, I think, cathartic for me, hopefully soul recharging for myself and for the audience. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, touching on that a little more, you say you've always been drawn to music that tells a story. Is there a particular piece in your memory that kind of reached in and grabbed your heartstrings and said, this is my story, this touches me?
I can really, there's one that sticks out to me, which is from one of my favorite Stephen Sondheim musicals, Sunday in the Park with George. Mm-hmm. I remember as a very young singer, I mean, we're talking 12, and listening to the melody and the lyric to Move On from Sunday in the Park with George. As an anxious kid, as a kid who sometimes had a very hard time making decisions and feeling confident and trusting my artistic, you know, compass, I remember hearing that song, and even at a very young age, thinking just how wise it is and how stunningly beautiful it is. I've been able to sing that song a lot in my career, first with Barbara, the great, late, great Barbara Cook at the Hollywood Bowl many years ago. And I'll probably be singing it on stage for the concert as well.
Is there something even more special when you get to go on stage? Because I know you just finished a tour with Jennifer Hudson as well. Mm-hmm. Having that partner in your singing, having that partner on stage.
I love duets. I love duets because you can create something together that you never would have been able to do by yourself. I especially love duets with singers that might on paper be from a different musical universe than I am. And there's a tightrope walk you have together. There's a dance that you have together. And there's something incredible that happens when you're able to blend voices, blend souls to tell a story together. I've been so blessed to have been able to sing with so many of my favorite, you know, singers in the world, and going out with Jennifer Hudson was no exception. She's just got an instrument that is like no other, and we had the most amazing time. So yeah, whenever somebody has said yes to a duet, I certainly have learned from everyone that I've been lucky enough to do.
The CD that you've just put out, Cinematic, was produced by Greg Wells, who had worked on The Greatest Showman. Does having somebody with that background bring something different to how you approach things?
100%. Choosing the right producer, a collaborator for an album like this or any album is the most important part of it. That marriage of being able to yes and with somebody who comes from different backgrounds and can be able to give you things you didn't know you wanted. Greg has that kind of bullseye place in the music world where he has incredible, like you said, pop sensibilities. He's worked with some of the greatest stars on the planet. And he also has a rich classical background. and a great theater and cinema background. Not only did he do The Greatest Showman, but he just recently finished doing the Wicked movie, all the music to the Wicked movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he had just come off of being basically living at sound stages for the film world. And when I came to him with this idea about this album that I've wanted to make for the entirety of my career, but just didn't know when the right time would be, he had just as many, if not more, ideas than I did about songs we could do, arrangers we could work with. And his experience as a producer for singers too is I really trusted him as a vocalist. I trusted him with his taste that we could tackle these songs in a way that wouldn't, you know, anger anybody who loved them and have heard them a million times, but we could also bring our freshness and something new to them. And having that trust as a singer with a producer is really, really important, because we're all so inside ourselves that having those ears to say, hey, try this, or you hit something there, or I could tell you were in your head on this take, is really, really important.
How long a process is it to put a CD like this together? Because you, as you say, you're finding arrangers, you're finding the musicians, you're mm-hmm. finding what flows.
The discussion of it takes a really long time, because when you have songs from this canon, it's a really long list and everybody has opinions, and the sitting around and talking about it and deciding and figuring out which arrangers, figuring out which songs, that part takes a really long time, as it should. You have to really give it the hindsight to make sure you know which songs are right for you and it's the right time to do them. The actual recording itself was a matter of weeks. Once we set up all of our ducks, we went to Air Studios in London, which is one of my favorite studios in the world. So many incredible movies have been scored at that theater, at that studio. And then we sang in the room, and then we recorded, and those musicians, we gave them the sheet music, and they, you know, basically play it perfectly the first time. It's incredible. And then that's when your instincts just start to flow. And then, okay, this, the horns should be here. All right, I'm going to give this another take vocally, or this should be sweeping here more, or it's perfect. And then it's just the sprint to the finish. And so that's kind of how I like to do it. I like to think about stuff a lot, but then when it comes to putting the color on the canvas, to really trust your instincts in the moment and not to super overthink that part of it.
You talked a little about collaborating with Greg. Talk too about how much fun it was to perform with your father, Jack, who played trumpet on Moon River. That must have been a blast.
It was a blast. It was, I think, the most special recording session I've done and maybe will ever do in my life. I got my musical DNA from my dad. He's very musical. He didn't go into music professionally. It was probably a dream of his that he didn't get to realize. But he still has the musical instincts. And even though he went into business, he's an executive recruiter. He finds jobs for people. He still got it. And I had this arrangement done to one of my favorite Mancini songs, Moon River, from Breakfast at Tiffany's. And Vince Mendoza, who's one of the great jazz arrangers and gifted us with this incredible arrangement, had written into the arrangement a solo. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Greg, like kid in a candy store, who could we get to possibly play on this track? And we're thinking about Terrence Blanchard and Wynton Marsalis and all these legends that we love so much. And I was talking to my dad about the song and talking to him about his playing. And I realized my favorite trumpet player has been right in front of me the whole time, but he hadn't played in 50 years. So I said, hey, if you practice and we really take our time, do you think you could put a solo on this track? And I thought he would say no. And he actually said, you know what, let me give it a try. And Greg, to his credit, set up the session so beautifully. We used Louis Armstrong's favorite studio in Los Angeles, Sunset Sound. And my dad picked up the trumpet, and honestly, it was like 50 years ago. He still has that incredible instinct, and his playing was so beautiful. And to be able to have a forever track of me and my dad on a song that's meant so much to the two of us, anybody who understands that connection that they have with a parent, it's something that will live with me forever. And he's a close to the vest guy. And so, you know, for him too, he would never ask for something like this. And when I've been on tour for the arena shows with Jennifer, I would put his video on the screen and we would do kind of a virtual duet, you know, and I could say to him like, Dad, like, you know, you made your garden debut, you know, you know, it's been really fun to celebrate him as he's somebody that always kind of puts other people first.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you had a very different collaboration a little earlier this year, and it kind of comes back to the yes and you mentioned earlier. You appeared at the Oscars. The video with Conan O'Brien is a scream. How did that come about?
I was on tour. I was in Japan, about to do a concert in Tokyo, and I got pinged that Conan wanted to ask me something about the doing something at the Oscars. And look, before I even said yes to a Zoom, it was a yes. I mean, I knew that whatever he was going to ask me was going to be an immediate yes. I love Conan to death, and you know, he has made me laugh for so many decades, and he's one of the real nice guys in this business. And so to answer the call and to be able to use, you know, my instrument to help with his comedic instrument was really such a highlight, one of the highlights of this last year. And I had so much fun. It's not every day you get to like dress up in like an outrageous knight in shining armor, you know, costume while you're standing there in front of, you know, your cinema heroes. We had a great time.
It was an absolute riot. If folks haven't seen it, definitely go to YouTube and see that.
Thanks.
Now, how does, coming back to the tour, to the stage, screen, and symphony tour, how does a tour like that compare to the rigors of 8 shows a week as Sweeney Todd?
It's a great question, because it's in some ways the same muscle, in some ways a very different muscle. I think that, you know, on the one hand, if I'm on tour, you know, I'm singing 19, 20 songs back to back to back to back to back. It's a huge vocal lift. If I'm doing a show like Sweeney Todd, the songs that I'm singing are, ultimately probably harder, but I'm singing less of them. There's still another big cast and they all have their solos, and you've got time to go off stage and change costumes and drink tea. And, you know, so on the one hand, you're doing more shows and you are physically, vocally, and emotionally exhausted playing a role like Sweeney Todd. But on the other hand, you're a cog in this incredible wheel as well. You're all out there telling the story together. And there's a consistency. You're telling that you want to maintain a level of consistency with the excellence that you put out there in a role. And you want to have that consistency, of course, on tour. But on tour, every night can be totally different. Somebody could say something from the audience and you bring them up on stage. You could decide to change this song for this song. You're a little bit more in control of where you want to ebb and flow. Whereas when you're doing a Broadway musical, you're inviting people into your story and you're going to give them that. And I love them both. My first love was theater, and to be able to be a part of the theater community in such a rich and welcoming way has been, I think, one of the greatest joys of my career, and certainly to be able to take on a couple of roles that have been dreams of mine since I was little has been just amazing. I've grown immensely from being able to learn from the talent of the theater community around me.
We're getting close to the end of our time together, but I have two more questions for you. First, I want to give you a chance to tell us about the Find Your Light Foundation. I was so impressed with that. What is that?
The Find Your Light Foundation is really a testament to why I'm where I am. I was a product of a public arts education, and I'm here because I had teachers that grew up that helped me, you know, helped me grow in the most amazing ways, and having access to musical instruments. And so, knowing that my fan base was philanthropic and that they were always looking for ways to give back, they started immediately saying to me, "Hey, if you ever start a foundation, we want to support." In fact, they gave me a donation before I even had a foundation, way back when, for about $25,000, and said, "Hey, hold on to this. Whenever you have a foundation, this is the first donation." So, knowing that I had a fan base that was just so giving, I started this foundation with my family, and we would just say, "Okay, we're going to find programs around the country that need grants, that need help." A little bit goes a long way with arts philanthropy, and so especially at this moment in time when these programs are at the greatest risk I think they've ever been in, to be able to say yes when they reach out and say, "We need instruments," or "We need to help keep this room alive, to keep this program alive." That's what we do at Find Your Light. We make sure that we can say yes to as many programs in school and out of school as possible, to make sure that young people get the chance to express themselves through the arts. It's not even about finding stars. It's about just finding the best human beings in these young people at a time that is more confusing and anxious than ever before. So we're thrilled to do it. And we've raised millions for programs all over the country.
It's incredibly impressive, and I was reading over the list. It reaches, I think, 40 states and just an incredible variety of arts organizations. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I have a traditional final question I like to ask my guests. Do you have any last words to share with us to encourage folks to go from listening here today to coming to the Virginia Arts Festival for your concert?
Well, speaking of, you know, needing calm in the anxiety, nothing can duplicate how we all feel together when we experience music in one place. And when I get to be on stage and perform songs that I love, it's a connection that is as much for me as it is for the audience. And so I hope everybody has a wonderful time, as wonderful time as I'm going to have. And I also just want to say, as long as I have this moment to have a final word, to thank everybody and to implore everybody to support their public radio, that, you know, live performance and this kind of wonderful radio is something that we can't take for granted. And so thank you for coming out to support me on tour, and also for supporting wonderful stations like this one.
Oh, thank you as well. Josh Groban is coming to the Virginia Arts Festival and performing with the Virginia Symphony Orchestra with his stage, screen, and symphony tour. It's Sunday, August 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Chartway Arena, 4320 Hampton Boulevard here in Norfolk. Information at vafest.org. Josh, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here today.
I so appreciate it. Thank you so much. To say to you so many reasons why, and you're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now.